All right. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Two. One. And welcome back to another episode of The Undefeated. We are here on a sunny Wednesday morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Doing great, too.
Yeah, doing great. I mean, it's been a while since we recorded, mostly because we've all been on quarantine. Thank you, COVID-19. Just some interesting experiences, man. I'm half scared, half everything. It's just very interesting. Although, it looks like we just got some breaking news. If I read that correctly, Dontari Poe is signing with the Cowboys from the Panthers. So they now have signed Gerald McCoy and Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe.
We have to do this. Signed two guys that were good 5 years ago.
Gerald McCoy is still good. Dontari Poe is on the backside of his career, but still, as a second defensive tackle, that's not bad.
Yeah, I know, but like, you're still signing guys that are just a little bit older. And with a team like that, where you're trying to develop a young team, the older guys are there as veterans, but like, you know, the younger guys need to develop.
Yeah, I mean, still, I don't think it's that bad of a signing. I know he's a veteran, but I mean, still not too bad. They could have signed a lot worse guys. So
the last time Dontari Poe had relevancy is when he threw a touchdown for the Chiefs.
Great.
But he helps their defense. You know,
he really does. It's not like he's supposed to be the starting best defensive tackle on the team. He's number two. He's gonna play that three technique where Tristan Hill was. So, again, I don't really think it's as bad as you think it is. I understand he's past his prime, but his prime was one of the best defensive tackles in the league. So, think about it that way, right? As a second defensive tackle, that's not bad at all. So, I think that's pretty important to remember. But anyways, as I was saying, thank God for NFL free agency, because other than that, sports is canceled. I mean, even the Olympics, the most worldwide watched thing, you know, canceled. Basketball, canceled. Baseball, canceled.
Casting former games. Like, they put game 7 of the Raptors Sixers on there. They put game 6 of the 2014 finals. Where the Heat like made the majors come back. It's a very good idea. Yeah,
baseball's been doing the same thing. So yeah, it just really I really didn't take this seriously until the sports started taking this seriously. When the NBA shut down, that's when I started to realize, like, oh my God, this is something we haven't been through before.
You know? Yeah, because the NBA, all these sports franchises, they're not there for the sport. They're there because there's a ton of money in it. So the fact that they closed is berserk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So definitely, I thought that was, But this episode is going to be more about what is going on in sports, which is the NFL free agency, which is probably the best NFL free agency I have ever seen. Just signings left and right, just huge. Normally, the NFL free agency is the worst out of the three free agencies, but, like, even the MLB free agency this season has been good. And the NBA free agency over the summer was probably the best free agency of all time. And now we get this awesome NFL free agency. So I really think that this has been a really good year for free agency for sports, you know, keeping
things
interesting and all that.
I mean, season-wise, the NBA just had the greatest free agency of all time with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and
a bunch of other players moving. 40% of the NBA moved to a different team.
Which and it's not like it was awesome. The bench warming. It's not like it was the guys on the bench. It was the big guys.
No, it was KD, Kyrie, Kawhi, you know, Anthony Davis trade. I know that seems like forever ago, but
it was only like 4-6 months ago.
Yeah, I know. I know, and that's crazy to think about. That is seriously crazy to think about. So I definitely this and so far this NFL free agency has really say. I mean, I've been so interested on what's going on. It's been really cool to see what exactly has been happening, and what a turnaround.
I mean,
some teams.
The Browns went all in again.
Some teams did. Yeah, but they got to stop doing that. They're going to have no cap space in like 2 years and be paying some crappy dudes a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's the Browns. It's one of the more dysfunctional organizations.
It's the Browns. It's the Browns, which is fine.
They made Odell Beckham Jr. bad.
There just has to be a Browns. There just has to be a Browns sometimes. You know
they
I mean?
Made Odell Beckham Jr. bad. Not even the Giants.
There has to be a king. So you know, people that underperform, even though they actually do have some talent, but they can't draft for their crap.
I hate you. But at least I like teams.
We start with free agency. We're gonna go through every single team in the NFL, kind of what they did and how we think their free agency went. So we're gonna go alphabetically here, starting with the Arizona Cardinals, made one of the biggest trades we have seen in a long time with the Texans. What a trade for Arizona! That was awesome. The best, I think, what is the best wide receiver in the game for a running back they didn't want anymore and were thinking about cutting, and a second round pick, and they had to give them a second round pick, but they got a fourth round pick back. So just an amazing job by the Cardinals to swing that. And what a trade to, and that really started free agency. And I think that this gives Kyler Murray a lot of weapons that'll finally be at his disposal. And they are a sneaky, maybe wild card team.
Yeah, but I think that that division is so stacked that they're going to have to fight. It's going to be a hard fight. Last year, if we had the same setup, three of the four teams from that division would have made the playoffs. So I think
I think it's going to be a fight.
I do see the Cardinals. I really like Kyler Murray. I liked him as a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's one of the best up and coming. I don't think he's going to sophomore slump like Baker Mayfield did, because you saw how he played. The way he throws the ball is just beautiful. Like, it looks like a masterpiece every time he throws the ball. And he can run and throw it, and it still looks the same. And now that he has a top five wide receiver in the NFL, arguably the top wide receiver in the NFL, and who's going to learn from Larry Fitzgerald, I think that this is going to be – this is a great move for all sides except the Texans.
Absolutely. I think this is a wonderful move. I think that they did a very good job acquiring what I think is the best wide receiver in the league.
I think he's up there. I think he's a solid number. I think it's either him or Michael Thomas.
I just think that he has more of the go up and get it, as Michael Thomas just runs slants. So I just think that – I mean, obviously they're going to be different. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, has the best hands.
Yes, the Christmas catch against the Steelers.
Dude, I mean, we still won. Don't get me wrong. The Steelers still won. But it was a wonderful catch.
I think the only reason that catch happened is because T.J. Yates was in at quarterback.
Yeah. Let's see. Other than that, the Cardinals re-signed. They put the transition tag on Kenyon Drake. They gave Larry Fitz a 1 year, 11. $11- except that the Cardinals have been pretty quiet. But I definitely think that trade says it all.
They've been quiet, but they made the biggest trade. So
they made the biggest trade. So they didn't have to go out and spend a whole crap ton of money. I think that this was the correct move for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, this was definitely the best move for the Cardinals. They picked up the top five wide receiver in the NFL, like we said, and they didn't give up that much. They still have a first-round pick.
The second rounder and a running back they wanted to get rid of in the first place. So they didn't even give up a first.
This is what happened.
We saw what the Bills gave up for
Stephon Diggs.
What?
What the Bills gave up for Diggs.
The Bills gave up for Stephon Diggs.
Wasn't it like a first, a third, and a fifth?
A first, a fifth, and seventh, I think.
Ah.
But like, still, I mean, the fact that they still have their first-round pick is
insane. You know,
is really good for them.
This is what happens when you let the coach that's not named Bill Belichick also be the GM. Because Bill O'Brien is now the GM on the Texans, and I just think that was a bad move by all sides.
He's a terrible GM. He's awful. He has no first-round
pick.
His
first big move.
All right, well, I guess I'll gain another second for the best player we have on our team.
Exactly.
So, I really feel bad for Deshaun Watson.
I do too. Now, he has to play – his best wide receiver is one of the most injury-prone wide receivers in the NFL, Will Fuller.
Yep.
Will Fuller's a really good receiver, don't get me wrong. But he has a hamstring issue that's just been nagging at him for the last 3 years. Randall Cobb is going to come in and replace DeAndre Hopkins.
The only good thing for the Texans is that what?
That's all I can say.
No, but like the only good thing with the Texans is that they have theirs is a very, very, very good receiver draft. So they can grab somebody decent in the second round. But they won't live up to DeAndre Hopkins. And they will never be DeAndre.
No one can live up to DeAndre Hopkins. There's no one like him. He has ginormous hands. He's a good person. Yep. And he just dominates everyone because he's so lanky and long. And it's like when we play football and I get beat, he does that to NFL wide receivers. I mean, not wide receivers, corners.
Corners, All right, so moving on down the line. Next, the Atlanta Falcons. Big signing. They got Todd Gurley on a one-year deal, and remember that Todd Gurley already is getting $7.5 million from the Rams. So, what do you think about that signing? Probably one of the most interesting signings of the offseason so far.
I don't like the Todd Gurley signing, to be honest with you. I think that the Falcons, yes, they had to get rid of Devonta Freeman, but I just don't think that Todd Gurley is great. He was good. He's always been good because he's always had a second back behind him. Because he has arthritis in his knee, which as a running back, you need your knees because it's kind of your job to run around. So I think that if the Falcons can get another running back that they can split carries with him, it'll be a good signing. But at this moment, I don't think they have one on the roster.
Yeah, they had to sign him. They just cut Devonta Freeman. They needed running back number one. And he's their running back for the next – this is a prove-it year for him. In Atlanta, that's what the one-year deal is, essentially. It's a prove-it year for him.
Yeah, it's a prove-it year, but, like, he cannot be the signature number one back who gets all the carries because he has a disease in his knee called arthritis.
They can still draft one.
That makes it hurt to do anything. Yeah, they can still draft one, and he needs someone to split carries with.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is he's going to get 40 to 50% of the snaps. He's not going to be a 70, 80% back carrier. So, I don't think he's going to have as many carries as you think.
What do you mean? I don't want him to have a lot of carries.
Right. So, I don't think he's going to be the premium back. So, I don't hate the signing, especially for 1 year, $6 million. If it was more than that, if it was multiple years, I could absolutely see where you were coming from. But I honestly don't hate the deal that much.
And I think that there's places that he definitely could have gone to be a better fit.
Yeah, he could have had a better fit somewhere.
And the Falcons are always acting like they're contenders because of the Super Bowl 51 because that's where the last time they made the Super Bowl, but they haven't been good since then. Matt Ryan is still having a Super Bowl hangover from blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Like,
well, that and I mean, they're just so injury prone. Like, I don't think Deion Jones has been healthy any year after that. And he was supposed to be probably the most, one of the most up and coming linebackers that we've ever seen.
And he was so good.
It's definitely just, yeah, he was amazing. And, you know, he's just been injury prone. Keanu Neal, injury prone. Just a lot of guys that are getting injured. So very interesting to see what's going on there. See, the Falcons also signed Dante Fowler Jr. For 3 years, $48 million. And they traded for Hayden Hurst for a second round pick.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst. So, I mean, I like the deal for the Falcons because Hayden Hurst coming into the – when he came out of the draft, everyone thought, oh, he's going to be like one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And then Mark Andrews showed up also on the Ravens and is just like, I'm the best. I'm Lamar Jackson's favorite target. Can that be real?
Yeah. I thought it was a great trade for the Ravens. I mean, grabbing a second-round pick for a guy that you didn't really – that wasn't really a star in your offense. And, I mean, the Falcons just lost Hooper, so they needed a tight end. So I don't mind this trade for either side, but I definitely think the Ravens want it, grabbing another second-round pick. And,
oh, yeah.
They are normally really good with the draft.
I think that as far as trades go this offseason, other than the Rams – I mean, other than the Texans-Cardinals trade, both teams are winning, other than the Texans-Cardinals trade, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we'll go through. But I think a decent offseason for the Falcons, nothing amazing. I'm interested to see what they want to do in the draft.
Me too.
Now that they got an edge rusher, which was their biggest need, I want to see what they do.
The Falcons have a lot of needs.
They're one of the most confusing teams to predict in this draft. You don't know what exactly. Well, they
have a huge hole at corner. So maybe a Christian Fulton out of LSU or a CJ Henderson out of Florida might be where they go. Or maybe even like a Patrick Queen out of LSU, the linebacker. It'll be really interesting to see what they do.
Yes, it will.
Next, on to who I had, who I think had the best free agency. And that was the Baltimore Ravens. Signed one of the best D tackles out there on the market, Michael Brockers, 3 year, $30 million. Just to come in and replace Chris Wormley, who they traded to the Steelers. But that wasn't their best move. The best move was acquiring Calais Campbell for a fifth round pick.
Yes.
What a move.
God.
All-pro defensive end for a fifth-round pick. I would take that any day of the week.
I would, too. And the Jacksonville Jaguars have just made questionable choices. Like, I mean,
very questionable choices.
I mean, they did make a good move by showing Gardner Minshew that the franchise is his by getting rid of Nick Foles for a fourth-round pick, which I thought was a good move for them.
Yep.
Because Foles, their best player for a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
No, they traded Calais Campbell for a fifth-round pick. That's where we're at right now. And that was awful. I understand they didn't want to pay him, but get some more value for him than that. He's has to have more value for especially a contending team like the Ravens. You have to be able to get more of a return for Calais Campbell.
Yeah, but I guess that's just what happens when you have dysfunctional print. Like, the Jaguars have made so many poor choices. Like, they had one of the best defenses ever, and then the next year they sucked with all the same pieces. So I just think that the Jacksonville Jaguars need to get their stuff together.
Yeah. But at least they got a first for Ramsey, but still. They have a lot of holes, the Jaguars. Now, the Ravens in the draft are going to be – they really need a linebacker. So, I think a perfect fit for them, at least in the draft, is Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. He just looks like a stud. And I think that would be a really good fit for him, pick 28. So
28? That sounds pretty good because –
yeah.
Every team, even though they're as stacked as they are, has their little bit of a weakness, and you just fill the weakness. And it's And they have some of the historically best linebackers that were developed by the same coaches that are still there. So.
Yeah. So let's see. They also signed. They also grabbed Jimmy Smith, re-signing him for 1 year, $6 million, which I think is a good deal. Let's see. They placed a franchise tag on Matthew Judon, who was their best pass rusher last year. So definitely going to be interesting to see what they finish off there. But I definitely think the Ravens had a great free agency.
They definitely did.
Now moving. 100%. What?
100%.
Yeah. Moving on to the Buffalo Bills, their big move, acquiring Stephon Diggs for a first, a fifth, and a sixth, and a 2021 fourth, and giving up a 2027th. Look, straight up and simple, Josh Allen needed some weapons, and Stephon Diggs is a weapon. I think
yeah, Minneapolis Miracle. Your best wide receiver before that was John Brown. Your second was Cole Beasley. Don't get me wrong, Cole Beasley is a really good second, a really good third or fourth wide receiver, but he's not a good second. Josh, and you saw it in the playoffs. In that playoff game, went towards the end when he couldn't complete a pass.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Now, I still don't like Josh Allen, but I definitely think that this is a receiver that he needs. Somebody that he can just throw it up, and if it's a little bit off, Stephon Diggs is just going to go up and get it. And look, Allen has a cannon. I'm not going to dispute that. Allen has a cannon. So this is a wonderful pickup for the Bills. I know that. What?
He looked a lot better last year.
Allen, yeah. Josh Allen did look a lot better last year, but I mean, still not my favorite guy. But I definitely think this is a good trade for both sides under the circumstances. Stephon Diggs did not want to return to Minnesota. He did not want to go back to Minnesota. He was done in Minnesota, so they had to trade him. They got a first-round pick for him, pick number 22, and a couple of other picks.
He wanted to be the premier guy, and they like Thielen better, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of what happened.
He was done in Minnesota. I mean, I wouldn't want my quarterback to be Kirk Cousins either. The literal, he's just mediocre. I want a guy that can give me the ball when I want it to and has the chance to be an all-pro quarterback. And I think that Allen has the chance if he can work on his accuracy. Definitely going to be really interesting to see what happens with them. Other things that they did, it looks like they got Josh Norman for 1 year, $6
million.
So, and most of that other stuff was, you know, they signed pretty, you know.
They signed guys that'll fill roles.
Yeah. So, I definitely think that one big addition is going to really help their team. They're a solid, they're a very, very, very good team.
Yeah, their offense is pretty good.
They're only a couple moves away from making a run.
Yeah, and their defense, oh my God. Jadavious White is one of the best corners in the league right now.
Yeah.
And then their safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. That's scary safeties. And then Matt Milano at linebacker, pretty solid. He's not great, but he's pretty solid in there. And then, geez, their defense has been good for so long.
Yeah.
Now they finally have an offense that's starting to click.
So
I could see them – and now that the Patriots don't have Tom Brady anymore, I could see them winning this division next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that is my prediction, is they will win the division. I don't think the Patriots win it. I really don't.
I think the Patriots might come in third, to be honest with you.
Dude, the Dolphins and Jets are so bad, though.
The Dolphins are rebuilding.
The Jets went 7-9.
The Jets are – just don't get me started about the Jets. The Jets went 7-9 on luck. They're not good.
Yeah, but they have the talent to be good.
No, they don't. They have some outer workings of talent, but they don't have anybody. Name me a Jets offensive lineman.
Kelechi Osemele.
Who? That'll play for them. Kelechi Osemele openly has said he doesn't want to ever play for the Jets again because of what they did to his medical.
That's a good question.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, so, they have Jamal Adams and C.J. Mosley on the defensive side, and I just like that.
But, like, their wide receiver core is terrible.
I mean, it was less terrible with Robbie Anderson.
Right, but they lost Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising that he hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, he was. But we're not talking about the Jets. We are going to go on to the Carolina Panthers.
Robbie Anderson was signed.
What, Anthony?
Robbie Anderson was signed.
Right, I know. He was signed to the Panthers, though.
So yeah, we'll say he was signed.
I didn't get any notification.
No, I said that the Jets didn't get him.
Yeah, I know that, but I didn't get anything for as far as notifications about
Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson's a Panther. Last night, actually.
I did read – that's probably why. I did read that him and Matt Rhule is his college coach. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely think it was a good deal. Robbie Anderson, the Panthers needed some receivers next to DJ Moore, and I think this was a good signing. Him along with signing Teddy Bridgewater, 3 years, $63 million, including $33 million fully guaranteed. Teddy Bridgewater finally getting some of the money that he deserves. Although I don't think this team is going to be good. I really don't.
I do not either, because Matt Rhule, as we've seen historically with the three teams that he's gone to, he's gone there when they were terrible, and he's taken like 3 or 4 years to make them semi-good.
I think that's what it's going to take. Just with this roster is going to need an entire overhaul, losing Keekly and all that kind of stuff. They're just going to need an infusion of talent. I think Bridgewater is not going to be their quarterback for the long term. I think he's just kind of there to keep them afloat. And then they find, a quarterback in the draft 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, Bridgewater is a pretty solid quarterback, and it is super surprising that they released Cam. I mean, I understand that he's not the same as he was, but remember, 5 years ago he was an MVP of the NFL.
I know, but
he took you to a Super Bowl.
I think it was mostly because they had already signed Bridgewater, and they're like, well, we're paying this guy so much money, we don't really want to fight, and they tried to trade him. They tried really hard to trade Cam Newton. And
yeah,
in the end, they found a partner.
Yeah, because since no one can do physicals, no one wants Cam Newton right now.
No, they got him. They did a physical. He did a physical and came back fine.
Yeah, but like, no, people want to see him work out.
I know.
Since the NFL told all owners and such to shut down their facilities for the time being.
Mm-hmm. And then other things, the Panthers traded their guard Trey Turner for tackle Russell Okung. So just
that was a good move for the Chargers. But Okung is too injury prone.
Especially because the Chargers acquired Bulaga as well.
Yes.
So
the Chargers, everyone. I honestly saw Tom Brady going there to the Raiders, to be honest with you.
That's where I saw Tom Brady going was the Chargers if he left. But
but I think
Tom Brady was the only one offering 2 years, $60 million. So you got to think of it that way too.
Yeah, and it's just it's crazy that Tom Brady's not going to be in a Patriots uniform next year. And there's a high likelihood that he's not going to be wearing
it. It's not like he's not going to be in a Patriots. He's going to be in a Buccaneers uniform. Those things are disgusting.
Yeah, and isn't Chris Godwin number 12 on the Buccaneers right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he said if Brady wants his number, he can take it, which I thought was really cool of him.
It is really cool of him. I can totally say that I saw that coming because, well, you can't really take Tom Brady's number.
I mean, it's the GOAT. Like you can't.
If you take Tom Brady's number, you're a bad human being.
Yeah.
He's made a whole thing about it. It's the TB12 mindset. It's not the TB16 mindset. It's the TB12 mindset.
Right. No, I definitely think that was. I mean, you gotta give Tom Brady his number just out of respect. But Panthers not terrible, but I wish they would have. they're a rebuilding team. They really are. And I know it's kind of sad to say that, but they're really a rebuilding team.
See. Yeah, on and to I think next. Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback that they're just using as a filler slot.
Yeah, absolutely. Next to the Chicago Bears, who may have had the worst offseason. Let's just go down the list. They signed Artie Burns. Do you know how bad Artie Burns is?
Rivaling Josh Norman right now, isn't he?
He is terrible. Artie Burns is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, Josh Norman got cut from the Redskins.
Because of money. I'm not.
Whatever. He still got cut from the Redskins.
Artie Burns is probably one of the worst corners in the NFL. And it's sad to say that as a Steelers fan, but he is awful. Other than that, signing Jimmy Graham, who can't block, and is
Jimmy
not
Graham
the tight
is
end
so
that he
overrated.
Was
since yep. New Orleans, he has
absolutely.
Not been good.
Signing a 2-year. Yeah, pretty much. And he signed a 2-year, $16 million deal, non-guaranteed, and has a no-trade clause. When the Steelers signed a better, younger tight end for less money.
If I'm Jimmy Graham, I'm just like, I can make a ton of money because of how good I was in New Orleans. I'm going to take that opportunity and run with it.
Yeah.
Because yep. he's played okay, but he hasn't been a top five tight end like everyone – like he's getting paid.
Nope, and he's getting paid like a top five tight end.
But he's just not.
Just not good. And then next, Robert Quinn, 5 years, $70 million, including $30 million guaranteed.
Look, he was
good last season –
I understand, but you don't go in all in 5 years on a guy that was on the Dolphins and then had a solid season with the Cowboys.
Exactly. I absolutely agree. I 100% agree.
You cannot go all in.
I think this is the Cowboys couldn't resign him because nobody's meeting that offer. That's a terrible signing.
But it's good for Robert Quinn.
Yeah, great job to his agent. Jeez.
Yeah, his agent is probably patting himself on the back right now.
Oh, my. I would. And then they signed Danny Trevathan, who has not been good since he left Denver, for a three-year extension worth $21.57 million.
That's a little too much to pay for him. But, like, I think that he's been very important in the development of Roquan Smith. This is the veteran guy who has Super Bowl experience.
Yeah.
Didn't Trevathan win a Super Bowl with Denver? Or was he part of the blowout Super Bowl?
He won a Super Bowl with Denver.
He won a Super Bowl with Denver.
He left after Super Bowl 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people left. And then the Broncos said, oh, we're going to take Trevor Siemian and make him our future quarterback. That lasted a year. John Elway is
They signed the failure bust out of Memphis.
Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
Oh, he was drafted. Yeah, but before that they took Paxton Lynch,
he was drafted in the 2016 draft.
Yeah, I know. But then Trevor Siemian was the seventh round pick who ended up starting week one for them somehow.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong. He looked pretty solid in week. He looked pretty solid in week one, but then after that, it just all went down.
Yep. They found a quarterback though. Drew Locke looks really good for Denver, but we're not talking about Denver right now. We keep getting off track.
Sorry.
Let's see. Next. What do you think about the Nick Foles trade? Jaguars, they got him for a fourth round pick, and I wouldn't have liked that deal for the Bears. I would have said this may have been the worst free agency of all time, but they restructured his contract, so it's not as bad as a cap casualty as it was. And this gives Nick Foles a chance to actually start. because Mitch Trubisky is terrible.
It's a good move.
Historically speaking, Nick Foles has only been good in one place.
I agree.
In Philadelphia. I think that this is a good opportunity for him to show. And I think that this is a good opportunity for him to show, oh, I can be good other places. But historically speaking, you've only been able to be good in one place. You were okay in Kansas City because Andy Reid was your coach. You were dog when you were in St. Louis. You were not great when you were in Jacksonville. And then Gardner Minshew just showed up and dominated you. And then, he's only been good in Philadelphia. The 27-2 season, 27 touchdowns, 2 picks, the Super Bowl MVP, all of that happened in Philadelphia. And then the next year he went to St. Louis and then he got sacked the most in the NFL, which isn't his fault, but then he didn't play very well. So, I like the move for Bears. I like all of it.
All right. Next is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. They didn't do a lot. They put the franchise tag on AJ Green, which I thought was a good move, especially they're going to bring in Joe Burrow, most likely. If not, they're going to bring in Tua. So they're bringing in a quarterback. You're going to want one of the best wide receivers in the league. Hopefully he actually plays this year. And then they had two big overpays. One for Houston defensive tackle DJ Reader, agreed to a 4-year, $53 million contract. And then Trey Waynes, who agreed to a 3-year, $42 million contract, the Minnesota corner. Just two overpays for two mediocre players.
I mean, yeah, they're mediocre players, but they're pretty solid pieces for considering that the Bengals had the first pick in the draft and how bad they were. You need to get – it's worth it to overpay a little bit. I mean, just to overpay for these guys, especially when you know you're in a rebuilding phase. It's like you want
– Yeah,
you're rebuilding. If you're rebuilding, you're rebuilding through the draft and maybe a little bit of free agency, but no one wants to go play in Cincinnati. There's nothing in Cincinnati, Ohio. Bad weather. And then, well, it's Ohio. So.
No, I absolutely agree. So, I mean, it's tough. I think that they should have gone younger. If they wanted to overpay some guys, I would have gone younger than what they did. Because they're going to be rebuilding for a while. They could have the number one pick next year, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Me too, but I could see Joe Burrow. I don't know. I think Joe Burrow will win. If he goes there, we'll just win them just by being Joe Burrow. I mean, I still think he's overrated, but like with the season he had last year, if he's still riding that high and he could keep that high going for his whole career, he'll be arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he's going to, but.
But I don't think he is either. But if he can, he'll be one of the best quarterbacks ever. Because he just has that swagger about him.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's what people underestimate is that just that confidence. So, going to be interesting. Next, we're going to head to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of overpays. If you want to talk about overpays, here's your place to do it.
Let's go to Cleveland.
Austin Hooper, who is now the biggest, best paid tight end in the league. And he shouldn't be. He is overvalued just because he can find the soft zone. The only reason he was really successful in Atlanta is because of the schemes they ran, not because he was actually good. He's not good in man-on-man coverage, and he's terrible at trying to beat the next guy. So, Jack Conklin, offensive tackle, 3 years, $42 million. A little bit overpaid, but they needed an offensive tackle, so I don't mind it as much, but not a good pass blocker. This guy is definitely more of a downfield running blocker, great run blocker, helped Derrick Henry a lot in Tennessee, but they're still going to need to draft a left tackle. Maybe like a Mekhi Becton or an Andrew Thomas or a Dedrick Wills. I think it's anybody of those three that are left is who the Browns are going to take. Other than that, they signed Carl Joseph on a one-year deal. And then this was the weirdest one to me. Case Keenum, 3 years, $18 million.
That's a solid backup.
That's a solid backup, but why do you need that good of backup when you need when you have Baker Mayfield? Are they really expecting Baker Mayfield to have a second really down year?
No, I think that they're just saying we can get this guy, and just on the off chance that Baker Mayfield gets injured or something, because we know that the Browns are all in on Baker Mayfield because he was the first overall pick, and that's right,
this doesn't say that though.
I think this shows that they're building to make a run soon. I mean, obviously they should have made a run last year, but then they hired Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. I'm confused with the Browns. I don't like the Rockies. I just think they had a lot of overpays.
Me as well. I do. I love the Browns on paper. I just don't.
Yeah.
They should have been that guy who got the Super Bowl 54 Browns championship tattoo. Mm-hmm. Total idiot. But at the time it made sense.
Yeah.
But then they hired Freddie Kitchens, mm-hmm. who would have won the award for worst coach of the year.
Yep. All right, next we're gonna head down to Dallas with the Cowgirls and very interesting to see what they did. They signed two defensive tackles, which we talked about a little bit earlier with Gerald McCoy, 3 years, $18.3 million deal, which I think is good for still a good defensive tackle, even if he's a little bit past his prime. Got Dontari Poe, paid Amari Cooper 5 years, $100 million, which
that's a great. I like it. Amari Cooper is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He plays for the most documented team in the NFL. And mm-hmm. I'm so annoyed with Dak Prescott. He got the contract offer to be the highest paid quarterback ever, and he said $35 million a season for like 5 years. That's do the math. I don't want to do the math, but it's 160 some million, give or take.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not including any incentive.
Then again, he's allowed to be stubborn. He is the quarterback. He's their quarterback. Remember, he did not get paid. He was on a fourth round pick salary.
But then he got all these endorsement deals from the Cowboys. I just don't think that he's worth $40 million a season.
I think
he's being selfish. If he wants to win Super Bowls, you have to take more team friendly deals. You can't ask for $40 million a year if you want to be a good team.
Yeah,
Tom Brady has never had a big contract in his whole career until just this year with the Bucks, and it's not even that big of a contract. It's a middle of the pack contract because he knows that you have to take team friendly deals if you want to win Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think Dak Prescott knows that yet. So I can't wait to see the Cowboys make the playoffs and then lose for 8 years.
Yeah, and again, I think that it's the same. It's same reason that I think this is the best. This is the Chiefs' best window, is right now because.
I definitely think Mahomes is going to take team friendly deals.
No, I don't think he is. Mahomes is going to be the biggest paid quarterback in history.
Yes, I think that, but after he wins a couple Super Bowls, because he knows he's going to get his money. But he's going to do it probably at the end of his career. When he's going to go to a rebuilding team, or Kansas City is going to be rebuilding, and they're just going to be like, hey, we're going to give you a ton of money. Come and play football, you know?
I don't know if he takes a pay cut. It's going to be – that'll definitely be one of the most interesting deals we will see. And then also – let's see. Sean Lee re-signed 1 year, $4.5 million. I actually like that deal. Although they signed Blake Jarwin, who is not a good tight end, like top five tight end money, 3 year, $24.25 million deal.
Remember, Jerry Jones is going to pay them whether they're good or not. He just cares who he likes. Because it's Jerry Jones' team.
Yeah. I still don't like that. They got HaHa Clinton Dix, which I think is actually a good deal, and they got Anthony Brown back 3 years, $15.5 million. So both of those deals are decent, but
I do like the Clinton Dix signing because he's a really good corner. I mean, he did get traded to the Redskins that one time, and then I thought he played corner.
No,
but he's still really good.
Yeah,
He was on the Bears defense last year, which really should have performed better, but he performed really well.
Right.
So I really do like the Clinton Dix signing.
Yeah. No, I agree with
the Cowboys.
All right. Next, we're on to the Denver Broncos. Anthony, what did you think of their free agency before we start?
I like what they did. Got Melvin Gordon to accompany from Lindsay in the backfield. You got Graham Glasgow, good offensive lineman. And they're building towards the future. It's what they're doing in Denver. It's what John Elway wants. You know, they're looking forward to the draft, seeing if they can draft someone like Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb. And I think this team will be good next year. I'm excited for it.
Melvin Gordon is overrated.
Absolutely. Well, I'm agreeing with you right now. This does not happen very often, but I am agreeing with you right now. Melvin Gordon is super overrated. This was 2 years, $16 million with $13.5 million guaranteed. A big overpay, especially for the backs that the Broncos already have in the backfield. You think about
Lindsay, Royce Freeman.
Yeah, Royce Freeman. Guys that are good. Just a big overpay for a guy they didn't need.
He's definitely overrated.
They weren't feeling Royce Freeman. They weren't high on him.
Melvin Gordon, who he's had his moments, but he hasn't been great, and he held out last year, and then it bit him in the butt.
Yep.
If he would have just played all 16 games, he would have gotten a bigger contract that he wanted, but he didn't.
Nope. And he let somebody else try him.
And then Austin Eckler showed up and is like, I'm a poor man's Le'Veon Bell. I'm Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So.
No. So.
But other than that, I actually like what they did.
Did lose Chris Harris Jr., which I think is the biggest loss.
Yeah, but they got a cornerback in Bouye. I don't like Bouye all that much, but.
I really thought that with getting A.J. Bouye, they were going to find a way to re-sign Chris Harris Jr. and then have that two-headed monster right there.
No, I mean, it's just a replacement at this point. I think the Broncos need to draft a corner probably second, third round. Definitely a big need. But my favorite move that they did, acquiring Jarrell Casey, an all-pro caliber defensive tackle for a seventh-round pick, another trade like the Calais Campbell trade. I think that was a wonderful job by John Elway just snagging Jarrell Casey for a seventh, which is basically worthless. So, great job there by Denver. That was a complete steal. I really did like that move.
They are building. We're building a scary defense down in Denver. You look at our defense. We have Nick Chubb and Von Miller. Justin Simmons. He's an emerging star.
Bradley Chubb. Nick Chubb's the running back.
Sorry.
Nick Chubb is the running back for the Browns, whose cousins are Bradley Chubb.
Whatever. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and the linebackers. A.J. Johnson had a breakout year last year in middle linebacker. Now Jarrell Casey coming into the defensive tackle position. Justin Simmons at the safety with Kareem Jackson, who had a pretty good year last year. And we still have two great corners, Bryce Callahan, who's coming back from injury. And now A.J. Bouye. This is looking into like the defense 2015 when Denver won the Super Bowl.
They need a linebacker and they need a corner. And then they need some offensive weapons.
Some offense. Cortland Sutton is a great number two. He should not be number one.
I actually think he could be a number one, but he's going to need a good number two with him. But
number one after being a number two for a while.
Yes, I would agree. I think he's like Antonio Brown. Because Antonio Brown, if you remember, he had – He had Hines Ward next to him for a little while. He had Mike Wallace next to him for a little while. He had Emmanuel Sanders, and they were kind of 1-2 back and forth. And then he took the leading role. So I definitely think I think Denver takes a rookie wide receiver at 15. Whether it's Judy or CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs, they're going to take one of those three with that 15th pick, and I think any of those three would be good for the Denver offense.
They give Drew Lock another weapon. And if you see Jerry Judy falls to 15, Judy and Sutton as a 1-2 punch, that's a great 1-2 punch.
I don't think Judy falls to 15. I think the only players that will be there, the two receivers that will be there at 15 will be Lamb and Ruggs.
And I do think
that the Eagles are going to try to get one of those.
I mean, they could still get Justin Jefferson with their pick. Justin Jefferson's a great wide receiver. So
no, but I think Ruggs will definitely be available at 15 for sure. I'm certain about it. I think the Jets pick up Judy, to be honest with you, and I think that the Denver takes up CeeDee Lamb.
You think Denver takes CeeDee Lamb over Ruggs?
Yeah. He's just a better Henry Ruggs has got to work a little bit more on his route running. That's about it.
Yeah, he's really good, but the only thing he's really good for at this point is having pretty solid hands and being really fast.
Yeah.
So.
Gonna be interesting. Let's see. Denver also signed Nick Vinette. They needed a tight end. I'm glad they grabbed a tight end. And then the Graham Glasnow deal, which I thought, you know, was actually a good deal. Maybe a bit of an overpay, 4 years, $44 million, but still a really good offensive guard, and they needed some offensive line help. So definitely a good signing for a good offensive lineman.
He didn't allow a sack all season last year.
Yeah, I know. He's very good.
Can we help this offensive line that really needs improvement?
Yeah, for sure. So next, we're on to the Detroit Lions. What do you say about the Lions? You give up a third, and you give up Darius Slay for a third and a fifth. Terrible deal. You add Jamie Collins, who's only been good in New England. You add Danny Shelton, who's only been good in New England. You add the backup offensive tackle of the Eagles, Halapaluti Vaitai, 5 years, $50 million.
Never mind. Never.
So when you could have signed Graham Glasnow.
I missed my thing earlier.
I mean, they're in a rebuild right now.
They're in a rebuild, but a terrible rebuild. This is an awful way to start. Desmond Trufant. 2 years, $21 million, an overpay for a declining corner. Just not good at all. I don't like any of these signings. They acquired a corner for a defensive back. Nobody really, Daron Harmon, and a seventh round pick for a fifth round pick. This hasn't been awful. The Lions just need to restart.
Matt Patricia is a terrible coach. Darius Slay came out and said that he didn't respect him. And if a player comes out and says, oh, I don't respect my head coach, you know it's bad.
Yep.
He's the head coach. He's the only reason that you have a job right now, and you do not respect him. Like,
yep. Patricia needs to be gone. Whoever the GM is needs to be gone. Just
the Lions just need to restart as a franchise. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot waste Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders and still think that you're a respectable franchise.
Yeah. And they're about to waste Matthew Stafford.
Exactly. Matthew Stafford needs to leave and go to the Patriots or something. You know what's surprising me? Is that the Patriots haven't gotten a quarterback yet or made any moves of relevancy.
You know that that actually is a very viable option. Stafford to the Patriots? Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but you think about it. They have Patriot ties. Obviously, with their head coach. And if they're in a rebuilding stage and they think that Matthew Stafford isn't it, I bet you Belichick could get him for a reduced rate.
For nothing.
For probably like a fourth-round pick. And then he has Matthew Stafford. And then we're talking about the Patriots maybe winning another Super Bowl. That's how crazy. Oh, yeah, that is actually a very big scenario. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford to the Patriots is a great move for the Patriots and a great move for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, man. That is actually, I think that could be a deal. I don't know. I hope that's not. I hope that doesn't happen.
For the sake of the AFC East, I hope it doesn't happen just because, well, the AFC East has just been dominated by the Patriots for too long.
Yeah.
But.
Man. But I think that probably one of the most interesting things in is going to be, like, what the Patriots do for a quarterback. That is probably the – right now, the biggest thing in the offseason is, like, what are the Patriots going to do? Are they going to stick with Stidham? Are they going to, you know, draft a quarterback like Jordan Love? Are they – you know, it's just going to be interesting on what they do.
I don't think Jared Stidham is a great quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a backup for a long, long time. But if he's – even if he can be a backup for a long time, he's just not a great quarterback. Yeah. He almost – his first play in the NFL was a pick six.
Yeah. So, I mean, do they get a quarterback at 23?
I mean, I don't think Belichick is Belichick. The quarterback we've seen him get were Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady, and neither of them were first-round quarterbacks. Neither was Jared Stidham. So is Belichick going to shock the world and make a quarterback in the first round? Yeah. Or is he going to take another offensive lineman?
Or safety. You know, the most Belichickian prospect that is going to go around that place is going to be Xavier McKinney, the safety out of Alabama. That
seems like – and Belichick and Saban, did you watch the documentary on Did you watch the documentary on Amazon Prime about Belichick and Saban's relationship?
Yeah, I mean it's great. They are, you know, they're tight. So
they're like closer than brothers are.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, so gonna be interesting. Next, we're gonna move on to the Green Bay Packers. Ended up losing Brian Bulaga, so they signed Rick Wagner. Definitely a big downgrade, and that hurts Aaron Rodgers. Mercedes Lewis, on a one-year, $2.25 million deal, basically just getting Jimmy Graham replacement for a lot cheaper. Devin Funchess, which isn't a bad signing. The Packers, they needed a wide receiver, and they signed Christian Kirksey on a two-year, $16 million deal. A bit of an overpay there. The Packers never really make a big splash in the offseason, so kind of typical to see that what they did.
Yeah, and if they do sign big names, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Re-sign.
And I love Aaron Rodgers, but I think his career is on the way to over.
Then again, he just made the NFC Championship. You guys forget that. He just made the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but I understand. But other than that, over the last couple of years,
he has no weapons and a terrible defense. It's literally the Packers are run by Rodgers.
Yeah, I know. It's just like how the Steelers are run by Belichick.
What?
But I mean, not Belichick, Roethlisberger.
No, they are. The Steelers have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, but they're still run by Roethlisberger.
But no, this is different. Rodgers is the only reason the Packers are coming close to the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's just something about Aaron Rodgers that I don't like, and I can't put my finger on what it is.
It's because you – I don't know. I think he's great. Next, we're going to move on to the worst GM in the NFL. Anyone take a guess?
New York.
Nope.
Dave Gettleman.
Nope.
Uh, the GM for, we were just talking about the Broncos.
Houston.
Yep. There you go.
Whoa, it goes from Denver, D to H without a team? Really?
Green Bay, Detroit, you.
We just talked about Green Bay and Detroit. We just talked about Denver, Detroit, and Green Bay.
Don't even. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Don't worry about it.
You disappoint me. All right, so let's start off. I mean, we already talked about the David Johnson trade.
He's an aging quarterback who has a huge contract.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even good.
Nope. He had one breakout season and has not been good
since. Which happened to be in a contract year. So good for him.
Other than that, they overpaid to keep Bradley Roby on a 3-year, $36 million contract. They agreed to terms with Vernon Hargraves, who has not been good for the Buccaneers. And then they got Randall Cobb thinking he was going to be a DeAndre Hopkins replacement for 3 years, $27 million.
I mean, Randall Cobb had his moments in Green Bay. He also had his moments last year, but he's not anything close to DeAndre Hopkins. No one is, except Michael Thomas.
Not at all. That's terrible. They did a terrible job.
And you should not have given Bill O'Brien GM powers.
No, ever, ever.
I just don't know what he's doing.
He's trying to make trades like this is Madden.
Yeah, except for he's the one accepting the terrible trades.
Yeah, Madden wouldn't even accept that trade, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you tried?
There's no way at all Madden accepts that trade.
Yeah, Madden trade logic is super weird, though. You can offer a first-round pick for a backup quarterback, and they still send him.
Oh, well. Bill O'Brien thinks we're not talking about Madden. Deshaun
Watson. Yeah, let's keep talking about real sports.
Okay. Next, the Indianapolis Colts acquired DeForest Buckner for the number 13th overall pick. And they also gave him $21 million per season. They also re-signed Anthony Costanzo and got Phillip Rivers on a 1-year, $25 million fully guaranteed contract.
I'm about to say, you forgot about Phillip Rivers, who's out of that. He's coming from that era. He is such a good quarterback. He always had the pieces. The year that they had the number one offense and the number one defense, it just proved that special teams is more valuable than you think because that year they had the best offense and the best defense, but the worst.
Worst
special teams. And Phillip Rivers has always had something pretty solid around him.
Yep.
But this year he just didn't.
Nope. And so, I mean, they got DeForest Buckner, which, I mean, he's a really big upgrade. I definitely don't know if they should have given up pick 13, maybe a bit of a reach on a guy like that, but definitely a really good defensive tackle. Re-signed Costanzo to help Phillip Rivers on a 2-year, $33 million contract. You know, it's all right. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, but special, now that you have Phillip Rivers, what are you going to do with Jacoby Brissett, who's also getting paid $25 million?
He's a backup. And that is, I think that's another chance for the Patriots to make a trade back for Brissett.
To be honest with you, I still like Matthew Stafford going to the Patriots more than I like Jacoby Brissett.
Right, but if they can't get Stafford, Brissett, who's a guy that, you know, Belichick has had before and drafted him, so he obviously believes in him. So I definitely think that would be interesting to see if Belichick would make that move, because they probably could get him for maybe a fifth or a sixth rounder, just the way this is working. So I definitely think that'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do maybe there. I think that the Colts, you know, had a decent free agency.
Decent.
Not overwhelming, but decent.
They got a really solid defensive lineman. They got a really solid quarterback named Phillip Rivers, who's better than pretty solid.
Yeah. So, next we are going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who traded away their entire team for six.
Goodness. This team is, they fired Tom Coughlin, which now looking back on it is a terrible move because Tom Coughlin wouldn't have made these trades. I mean, he's not a great GM, but he's better than what they have now. And they're trading away their best players. They traded away Jalen Ramsey earlier in the season. Like, come on now, dog.
This is full rebuild season for them. Some of the moves they made, placed Yannick Ngakoue on franchise tag, but he wants out. He really wants out.
He wants out bad. Yep. He doesn't just want out. He wants out very much.
Yep. And the only other thing they really did was they signed Joe Schobert, 5-year, $53.75 million. A bit of an overpay for Schobert, but I'm just glad he's off Cleveland because he annoys me.
I love Joe Schobert. What are you talking about?
As a Cleveland player, he annoyed me. I'm a Pittsburgh fan.
Oh, I forgot that.
Jacksonville's a team on the down. They're trending downward.
This is a team I think could sneakily be the worst team in the NFL next year.
100%, and then draft like Trevor Lawrence with the first pick.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
You know what I really want to see? I want to see the Patriots tank. I actually don't want to see it, but I could see it. The Patriots tanking for a season to get Trevor Lawrence.
Belichick? No. No, Belichick wouldn't do that.
Belichick wouldn't tank, but it'd be fun to see if Belichick could make Trevor Lawrence the next Tom Brady.
No, it wouldn't.
As a fan, it wouldn't. It's just something I want to see.
You disappoint me. All right, and then we're gonna wrap up this episode here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Not much. They didn't do much. They put the franchise tag on Chris Jones, and they picked up the $2.3 million contract option for Damian Williams.
That's good for them because Damian Williams probably wants more money.
Yeah. So definitely interesting to see what they're going to do after this. They really need a corner. That's what they need. So in the draft, look for them to take a corner. Look for them. I'm thinking maybe DeAndre Swift, the running back out of Georgia at pick 32. That could be very interesting. Put together even more running backs in that running back room. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be really interesting to see what happens after this. But this is going to be the end of this podcast. We're going to go over the other 32 NFL teams later in the week. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have a podcast every week, but, you know, whenever news shows up, we're going to be there to give you all of our analysis and breakdowns of it. And, you know, I hope everybody out there stays safe, stay distancing, you know, do what you need to do and, you know, try and have fun while doing it. So I appreciate your time. Thank you, Will and Anthony, for being on the podcast today. I know it's not probably not going to sound wonderful because we're over voice call, but it's just, you know, a weird and difficult time for everybody, and something we have never experienced before. So we will see you guys later this week with the with us wrapping it up, and then maybe we'll probably catch you next week as well. So other than that, peace out.
Peace out.